The car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We welcome you to hour number two live right here on this Wednesday morning on the early line on SportsGrid. He is Donnie. I am Ben. A ton of college basketball news and headlines in this second hour. We will recap what we saw on a robust Tuesday night, final week of the regular season at the high major level in men's college hoops. We've got more conference tournaments starting on this Wednesday, three into the fold on a Tuesday, and a ton to break down for you. One of the conference tournaments that I am looking forward to the most, that would be out in the Summit League. I cannot wait to see what we get in the Summit and who will reach the pinnacle, earning that automatic bid to the big dance. Plenty of breakdowns coming your way. Brian Fonseca joins us in this second hour for his association handicaps as well. A lot to get to, DRS, in this second hour.
Yeah, college basketball taking center stage, and rightfully so. As we pointed out, many of these conferences getting underway this week, the mid-majors, the lower-level teams, but also next week, the high majors get involved, and we get that midday basketball action with teams trying to play their way into the tournament, trying to play their way into the bubble, trying to play their way off of the bubble here. I love to see it here because it gives you that practice round before we actually get to Selection Sunday, which is quickly approaching. Where'd the time go? Like, it felt like we were talking about, hey, look at all these matchups at Madison Square Garden to open up the season. And here we are in the final days, per se, of the season itself.
Yeah, absolutely, DRS. We're coming down to the final end of the regular season at the high major level. And we are about a week and a half away from Selection Sunday, where the madness truly is on the rise. But it does not just wait for the big dance. We are seeing it in every aspect. A couple of double overtime thrillers that we will break down. But before we get there, big win for Purdue in their home regular season finale inside Mackey Arena last night. A hundo spot put up on Rutgers, the second Big Ten game for the Boilers, scoring at least 100 points this year as they blow out the Scarlet Knights 100-71. Purdue was riding a four-game skid, snapped that on Friday with a double-digit win over UCLA, backing up with 100 points against Rutgers as the Boilermakers cover as a 10.5-point home favorite. DRS, we told you, keep an eye on that total, 151.5, skies to the over.
Absolutely. We thought they would get points there. Didn't know if you wanted to take the Boilermakers or not, but they were the better team all the way through. And if you're going to shoot 36 three-point shots and make half of those, you are going to blow your opponent out regardless of what they actually do on offense. 18 triples made to 8 triples made. That's going to be the difference in a game. But also understand this. Interesting to see with Rutgers, because I really thought that they would be a player on a national level if this season had worked out for them. Because you know for the sure. Negative recruiting is going to come in now. Like, hey, look what happened when two young superstars, guaranteed lottery draft picks, joined up with Rutgers. It didn't work out. Can you imagine if Rutgers was, let's just say, 25-6 or so in the season, front runners in the Big Ten Conference? Rutgers might have been a real power player over the next couple of years, because you can sell that to future players. Hey, these two kids took a chance on me. They went 1-3 in the draft, and we won a national championship or made a deep run into March Madness. Why don't you try it along? And they would. Now players are going to look at this and be like, those two guys went there, didn't really shine all that much, were injured for a lot of the time. You guys didn't even make the tournament. Like, why would I go to New Jersey and play at Rutgers? So, tough season all the way around. They rolled the dice, and it looks like it's coming up craps here on their season.
An incredibly disappointing season in Piscataway. If you have not watched college basketball at all, but just knew the headline, that two of the top three recruits in this class behind only Cooper Flagg, Ace Bailey, and Dylan Harper went to Rutgers, who was ranked in the top 25 in the AP preseason poll, you would be thinking, how did it get this bad? Injuries, a main reason for it. Dylan Harper dealing with injuries and illnesses. Of course, still a young team, needs time to gel. They have not had that consistency. Kentucky bounces back from a home loss over the weekend to Auburn with a big victory yesterday against LSU by 31, 95-64. They cover as a double-digit home favorite. Arizona needs to start playing better ball. Not a cover last night against the in-state foes in ASU, but they do get a win in a high-scoring game, 113-100. The Cats had lost four of their last six entering last night against the Sun Devils. But, Donnie, a lot of action last night pertaining to the NCAA tournament bubble, especially in the SEC and the Big Ten. I don't believe Mississippi State has any business still being ranked in the top 25. In fact, I'll go a step further. The Bulldogs are going to bolster a lot of resumes for those SEC bubble teams looking for an at-large bid, and I don't think they're worthy of doing that, as we have seen, because Texas in Starkville wins outright in overtime despite coughing up the game in multiple instances at the tail end of regulation. Texas wins in OT 87-82 over the Bulldogs outright as a 7.5-point road underdog.
Yeah, you can't lose that game if you're Mississippi State. I mean, what are you doing here? You come into that game, 5-11 in conference play, Texas, and only 17-13 overall, which, you know, you get at least a half a dozen victories before you enter the season that are just layup wins here. That's a game that you have to win. You're right about it. Still being in the top 25, it does show the depth and the talent of the SEC, where you can have an 8-9 record and still be ranked in conference play, but you have to show some support and say, here's the reason why we should be in the tournament, not just because we play in the SEC and hung around a couple of these games.
But DRS, that will go down as a huge quad one road victory for Texas, one that I'm not so sure is justified. Mississippi State started off 14-1 and a perfect 2-0 record in SEC play. From that moment, they have dropped 9-15. I understand the SEC is difficult. Four covers, that's it, for the Bulldogs in that 15-game span, but a huge victory for the Longhorns, trying to solidify their bid, maybe to be on the right side of the bubble. Indiana could have done just that last night. They had a lead under 2 minutes remaining in Eugene. Some interesting officiating in both of those Big Ten spots. Oregon prevails. Jackson Shellstad clutch in key moments for the Ducks. 73-64, the victory for Oregon. They cover as a 6.5-point home favorite. A huge bubble game for both of those Big Ten teams in Columbus, Ohio State, and Nebraska. Despite a program record for the most points scored in a single game, 43 out of the Huskers' Bryce Williams, Ohio State prevails in double overtime. Now, listen, I've got some love for the state of Nebraska. I lived in Omaha for 2 years. You know that I love my Cornhuskers, DRS, and I'm trying not to say this through a go big red lens, but oh boy, some very questionable calls against the Huskers last night in Columbus in key and critical moments.
But this is what Nebraska basketball is, right? 7-12. You should be able to celebrate that run around. Like, look how good Nebraska basketball was this year. So there are stepping stones to that. It's a game that maybe you could have won on the road. But hey, Nebraska basketball is over 500, Ben. Come on, let's party. Nope. Let's have a couple beers for that.
Not under Fred Hoiberg, DRS. They're looking to be a big dance team. They're looking to win their first ever game in the NCAA tournament. The last few days, a home loss and a costly one against Minnesota. That one unable to come through, even despite poor officiating, could really hurt that tournament resume, especially when you have teams like Arkansas go to Nashville and knock off Vandy, winning outright at a 7.5-point dog by 13, 90-77. You lose by 19 against two-win SEC foe in South Carolina, who lost to Georgia last night. Big win for the Bulldogs. And then you beat a streaking Vandy team by 13 on the road. Cal's Hogs are a very, very questionable team, but they're playing well.
I need to see Cal's Hogs go into the SEC tournament, somehow line up with Kentucky and knock them off here and actually make a tournament run. That would be sweet to watch. But you're right about that. Arkansas has the talent, but as Coach Cal said, I just took the job here. I don't even have any player. I don't know if we're even going to be able to play this season. I always love Cal being overdramatic. Let's see if he can be overdramatic and push this team over the hump in the SEC tournament. Winning a couple. What happens if they win a couple games in the SEC tournament, man? Watch out for those hogs. Call those hogs.
Those are going to be caught. We are calling those hogs always. Uh-huh. Arkansas has won 6 of their last 10. They have covered in 8 of those games. A game that North Carolina absolutely needed, and they take advantage, winning by 32 in Blacksburg against Virginia Tech, 91-59. UNC covers as an 8.5-point favorite, setting up a huge game on Saturday in Chapel Hill against More college basketball news next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Wednesday on the early line on Sports Grid. 4 more conference tournaments at the mid-major level beginning on this Wednesday. And a lot of action on the women's side as well. Big Ten tournament, for instance, starting today in Indianapolis. And I believe all of them on the women's side. It is one of the beautiful things about this time in March. Conference tournament weeks, if you will. Ending of the regular season at the high major level. Conference tournaments in the games that mean the most at the mid-major level. We saw 3 more get underway yesterday. Patriot League, Horizon League, and why am I blanking on the other? Somebody help me out. Sunbelt in the gauntlet that it was. DRS, 4 more about to start on this Wednesday. The Ohio Valley Conference, the Big South, the Summit League, and the Northeast Conference, where the hottest team in college basketball right now resides. That's Central Connecticut, and they are the favorites to win the tournament at a -210 price. Ooh. In fact, you see it right there, -210 for Central Connecticut, -250 for High Point in the Big South as well.
Yeah, High Point's a good one here. That's a team that you follow throughout the season. They do a lot of things correct here, but understand this again. Under where these games are being played, home court advantages, there is some. Is everybody being played on a centralized court location, which we're going to get into in just a few moments? They all make the difference. But also, some of these teams are really good basketball teams with great records that they still need to win their conference tournament where everything is on the line, and that's going to play out this week. That's why it's fun to watch here. It doesn't matter how good you were in the regular season, which the shame of it is, you play 20 games, let's just say, in your conference. You win the regular season. You just don't bring your A game one night and get knocked off. You go home despite being the best team for the majority of the season. Those are always tough pills to swallow, but everybody understands what's at stake here, and you got to play accordingly.
23 wins for the Blue Devils. That's Central Connecticut, led by Patrick Sellers. They have done a really great job in 12 consecutive victories. Not even sure I got 9. 12 consecutive wins for Central Connecticut. That is the nation's longest active win streak that they will take into the Northeast Conference Tournament. And they play LeMoyne today. So a big, big game to start for Central Connecticut. Last year, we saw a crazy NAC tournament where Wagner came out of nowhere with about 7 guys still actively playing on the roster to take that at-large bid. Of course, when you look at NAC basketball, teams like Fairleigh Dickinson, they reside in this league as well. FDU pulling off the stunner a few years ago, of course, upsetting at the time the 1 seed in Purdue. Central Connecticut, though, a hefty favorite. Donnie, just to note, a lot of the tempos that you will see in NAC basketball, very, very slow, including the 2nd slowest in the country in Wagner. The fastest tempo is FDU, 68th in the country. So pay attention to those totals. We got FDU today against Stonehill. Stonehill plays at 3:01. As we go to the Big South, you mentioned High Point. One of the better offenses that you will see. It is why they are a -250 favorite to win this conference tournament. But there's some really good teams within this conference. Winthrop, 11-5. UNC Asheville, also 11-5. High Point gets the bye. They don't play until this weekend. We've got 2 games starting today. USC Upstate, that's South Carolina Upstate, and Gardner-Webb face off in the opening round game out in the Big South tourney.
Yeah, High Point, by the way, also entering or ending the season, I should say, on an 11-game win streak. Always like to see teams playing the best possible time they can. But also understand this, like the ebbs and flows of some of the games. You look at this conference, like adjusted, you know, tempo on the season. Winthrop, top five in the country, but you also have a team at 354th in Radford. So it's fun to see some of these teams collide. Like, we want to run fast, we want to run slow. Now, always, those teams can be very frustrating to play against, but if you get them out of their comfort level, pretty easy to beat. But you do see the 14-2 overall record in conference playing the Big South for High Point. They are the best team overall, because if you're looking at a team that's hot going into the tournament, the best offense and the best defense, the best two-point shooting team, the best offensive rebounding team, you get extra advantages there. There's a reason why they're such a heavy favorite, and I don't mind backing them. I think they do win that tournament.
Yes, and Donnie, you will not often see this. Even the best teams in their mid-major conference, they might excel in conference action against the others. Most efficient offense, best effective field goal percentage, all that. Yep. High Point is great regardless. 25th most efficient offense in college basketball. That is a number to pay attention to. Shooting 56.6% in that effective field goal percentage. 13th best out of 364 D1 men's program. So High Point, a minus 250 favorite. That's a big number to pay attention to. And Central Connecticut at minus 210. Those two teams, by the way, 12 straight wins for the Blue Devils, 11 straight wins for the Panthers, led by Alan Huss, a great head coach. Used to be an assistant in Creighton when I was covering the Blue Jays, a 26-5 team. Those are the two longest active win streaks in all of college basketball. Let's get to the other two conference tournaments. I'll have some thoughts on the Summit League on the other side of the break, but the Ohio Valley Conference DRS, SEMO, Southeast Missouri State, is that favorite at a plus 160 price?
Yeah, and they probably should be at that point, too. You're taking a look again. You're looking at matchups and styles that make fights here. Number one in conference play on offense here, and also number two in conference play at playing defense. You take a look at some of the records, and there's a lot of balance in this league. 15-5, 13-7, 12-8, 12-8, and then three teams all listed at 10-10, 10-10, and 10-10. It's so hard to differentiate between the two, because if you take a look at the numbers here, what, plus 160 is a price? So at least you're not getting like the High Point minus 250, and you're still getting a quality basketball team. But this one probably looks up in the air more than the others at this point. But if I'm going to take into account, you're probably still going to go with the favorite in this point, lined up at that 15-5 overall conference record. Because again, give me the best offensive team and give me a team that also plays comparable defense, and you can get after it.
And when you're 15-5 in conference and you've won 20 games this year, that is OVC in OVC play. Southeast Missouri State DRS also 14-6 against the number in terms of their conference action. They did drop their regular season finale against Eastern Illinois, but still, they had covered in what I believe was seven consecutive games prior to that one. They are the favorites. We'll look at the rest of the odds around the Ohio Valley, if a team might be able to steal a bid from the regular season champs. And then we'll head to the Summit League, where the regular season winners, for the first time in Summit League history, the Omaha Mavericks are not the favorites. Not even one of the three best numbers to win a conference tournament. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. A bit of breaking news out of the National Football League. A week away from the official start of the league year. That's 4 p.m. Eastern time, exactly 1 week from right now, next Wednesday. The Bears continue to bolster up the interior of their O-line, trying to provide that anchor for the second-year quarterback in Caleb Williams. The Bears trading for Joe Tooney, one of the best left guards you will find in football, who still this year, AP first team all pro, despite DRS having to be flexed out to left tackle for Kansas City. Now, he was not great in the postseason, specifically Super Bowl 59, but he is one of the best interior offensive linemen that you will see. He is 32 years old. He has played 9 years in the National Football League, but the Bears, in my estimation, getting a good deal to, again, build up that offensive line to protect Caleb Williams.
They got a lot of money to spend. They're spending money wisely here. Protect your investment at quarterback. Strengthen the offensive line as much as you can. You got wide receivers. You got running backs. Now you just need to get that offensive line in gear and turn them into like a top, I don't even say, Ben, a top 10 offensive line. Just give me a serviceable offensive line where a new head coach comes in and Ben Johnson says, you know what? I can run my plays here because I can snap a football and have at least 3 to 4 seconds to pass as opposed to hike, oh no, avalanche pass rush coming in. I love this move. Even though Tooney, probably on the back end of his career, a veteran presence on the offensive line that as long as he's not out at left tackle. And by the way, credit him to be like, you know what? We don't have any tackle out here. Coach, I'll go from guard to tackle and try to play with some of the best out here. And was serviceable up until the Super Bowl. It's no surprise. What is interesting, though, is we understand that Joe Tooney was a key piece of that Chiefs offensive line that wasn't very good. So maybe, again, the Chiefs know a little bit more, free up some money, keep Trey Smith back there as a guard and sort of invest in that maybe through the draft as a better play forward than keeping Tooney at a little bit bigger money here. I think it's a win for both franchises here. Yeah.
It's what you have to do when you need to pay a ton of players, and the Chiefs have had to pay a ton of players in Kansas City, even guys that have been a stalwart of your franchise the last few years and still performing at a very high level. Sometimes that's the financial flexibility that you need. Joe Tooney, AP first team All-Pro each of the last 2 years, second team All-Pro in 2022. He is a great, great guard. He is not a tackle. He will not be expected to play left tackle in the Windy City for Chicago. First 5 years of his NFL career in New England, last four in Kansas City, at least a Pro Bowler in each of the last three. So big news there for the Chicago Bears. Again, starting to add it up and starting to make those dividends. DRS, as we go around all of the conference tournaments, we will see at the mid-major level. We talked about SEMO, the favorites, plus 160 out in the Ohio Valley, but SIU Edwardsville, that second best price at plus 240. SEMO deserving of being the favorite, 15-5 in conference, number one seed, and 14-6 against the spread, but SIU Edwardsville, not all that far behind. Let's get to the Summit League. A conference tournament I cannot wait to see, where the number one seed, DRS, Omaha, that would be Nebraska Omaha, the Mavericks, winning a conference crown in the Summit for the first time in program history, not booked as the favorite, not the best price, third best price, fourth best number at plus 480. North Dakota State, South Dakota State, co-favorites at plus 230 in St. Thomas, who is not tournament eligible, by the way, plus 260, third best number.
It's pretty crazy when you do look at those price points here for the team coming in with the best overall record. So I immediately go to, like, you know, do a little research. I'm not finding any devastating injuries to guys in the starting lineup that would just knock them out, or two or three guys that are leaving in the portal or whatever, saying, I don't even care about playing in the Summit League Championship here. I just want to get out of town at this point. So I did find that interesting, but also understand this. This conference, you got flamethrowers from three-point range. As a team in conference play, Nebraska Omaha, 40%, 39% for St. Thomas, 38% for North Dakota State, 37% for South Dakota. This is one of those conferences that I love to look at because you just need to get hot from the three-point line, and that can carry you all the way through. But again, that price point, a plus 480 for a team with the most wins in conference play, doesn't make all that much sense to me. There's got to be a reasoning behind it, and I can't find it right now.
There's been a lot of thought, DRS, that Omaha was doing this in an unexpected way, a little bit hook and crook and some luck. They were often booked as an underdog against those top teams you see, NDSU, South Dakota State, and even St. Thomas. And they continued to defy the odds. Yep. Can they do that in a conference tournament? Looking for their first ever appearance in the Big Dance, I would say yes. And if you haven't seen what Chris Crutchfield has built for Omaha in the great tradition of absolutely pile-driving a trash can after a big win for the Mavs, it's one of the great stories this year in college basketball. I bet them at a 5-1 price earlier in the week, now plus 480 for TEL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's give you all the headlines you need to know around the association in the NBA in the stretch run of this regular season. We do that here on this Wednesday morning on the early line on Sports Grid with one of our favorites, Brian Fonseca, back on the show. Fonseca, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you for being here.
How's it going, guys? Happy to be here.
Doing well, Fonseca. We're doing well. Donnie's doing well. We hope you're doing well. Mm-hmm. I think everybody, though, we can say with a blanket statement, doing better than anybody in Dallas that supports the Dallas Mavericks still. More tough injury news yesterday for Dallas. Kyrie Irving out for the remainder of this season after suffering a torn ACL earlier this week. When you think about being a Dallas Mavericks fan in the last month, it has been pretty brutal. But when you look at the actual basketball team, Fonseca, they have lost Luka Doncic, of course, in the deal. We'll get to the timeline of events in just a moment. Anthony Davis injured, his status and his return uncertain. Kyrie Irving now out for the remainder of this year. When the Luka Doncic deal happened, Nico Harrison tried to position it as the Mavericks were still in win-now mode. With the injury to Kyrie Irving, Fonseca, can the Mavericks even be a postseason team at this juncture?
Well, and looking at the Western Conference, I mean, somehow the Clippers blew last night's game to the Suns, which actually matters a lot as it pertains to this conversation, because now the Suns get another game on the Dallas Mavericks. They're three games behind them now for that last play-in spot. You're the Dallas Mavericks right now. You're looking at an injury report that includes Kyrie Irving now, who's done for the year, Anthony Davis, who we don't know if he's going to be back, and I assume if they're going to shut him down for good, which Shams Charania has reported that he's going to be done. Derek Lively was doubtful for comeback this season anyway. Daniel Gafford's been out. Jaden Hardy's out. PJ Washington's out. Dante Exum's out. Caleb Martin, who they traded for, is out. They traded Quentin Grimes for. Like, you just go up and down the list. Who are you going to play out there? Like, you would think Jaden Hardy would be somebody they lean on post Kyrie Irving, and he's even out. And Jaden Hardy's not even that good. No disrespect. So I don't know, like, as somebody who had their over preseason, as a lot of people did, because how could you not like this team coming into the year? They were snake bit before they traded Luka Doncic. Luka Doncic was hurt for a period of time, and he was hurt when they traded him. So it's just one of those years, season from hell in Dallas, and the fans are really getting the worst of it. The fans who spend money to really support this team and previously support Luka Doncic, and now this iteration of the team, which I actually think healthy, like, this is a good playoff roster that could win a series, that can do some things, that can play both sides of the floor, but you have nobody out there. So Dallas is pretty screwed at this point.
Brian, we haven't had a chance to talk to you since this trade went down, and we'll get to the Kyrie Irving injury in just a few moments, but from your vantage point, like, what was the reasoning for the Dallas Mavericks to move on from Luka Doncic?
Every explanation gets worse and worse and stupider and stupider. So there still isn't one, is probably the short answer to this. I just think Nico Harrison just has a way of doing things. The theory that I probably like the most is, like, he's such a Kobe guy and he wants somebody to conduct himself in that kind of psychotic competitive way. And I mean that respectfully, obviously, because, you know, psycho competitivism, if I can make a term up on the fly, it's not the worst thing in the world for some people, depending on how you manage it. Now, in the case of Luka Doncic, I mean, Kobe liked him a lot, as far as we know. Like, you know, and I also don't think as you get older, you learn this. There's not one way to do things. Like, you don't have to be a D word to win. You know what I mean? Like, like, you don't have to approach it that way. You know, I don't think Tim Duncan was that type of dude necessarily. You know what I mean? From a personality standpoint. And Luka Doncic appears to be a little easier going, but he also is a psycho competitor in a different way. Like, you've seen it in postseason moments. And to want to trade him after leading this team to the finals, after they really shouldn't have gone to the finals last year, like, doesn't make any sense. You're talking about you want to win now and win for a sustainable period, and you trade the guy who brought you to winning now and was probably going to win with you for a sustainable period to a team that's second in the West. And honestly, if you have Laker futures right now, yeah, I don't hate it at all. At all. I think this team could probably make the conference finals, because look at who they added at the trade deadline on top of having LeBron James and Austin Reeves when he gets back from injuries, killing my fantasy team right now. But anyway.
Sorry. Sorry about that. Luka Doncic, by the way, the guy that you added, second highest points per game average in NBA playoff history, only behind Michael Jordan. We'll talk the Lakers in just a moment. But here is the timeline of events for the Dallas Mavericks. And any Mavs fans out there, we apologize. You have seen this in the last 24 hours. One gut punch after another. The largest was the Luka Doncic deal. And to Fonseca's point, any reasoning or explanation has really fallen on deaf ears. Anthony Davis looks dominant in his Dallas debut. Then the adductor strain. He is out for at least a month and indefinitely still at this moment. Earlier this week, the Mavs, as a ownership group, made the boneheaded decision to publicize they were increasing season ticket prices. And then on the same day, Kyrie Irving, in a game at home against Sacramento, tears his ACL. Fonseca, is there any redeeming thing at all you could say to the Mavericks fan base right now? Or if there was a team the Mavs should be rooting for down the stretch because they don't want to root for their own organization, who should that be?
The redeeming thing is you have your own draft pick. And that's literally probably it. Like, if this just goes into a tailspin, that's fine, I guess. Like, maybe you'll get a lottery pick in a draft that's supposed to be really good. Ben, you're probably more qualified to say that than I am. But, I mean, these rookies, the potential rookies coming through, VJ Edgecombe is probably my favorite prospect in the draft. Not that I think he's going to be the best player coming out of the draft, but he's been my favorite to watch, even when he was playing for the Bahamian national team at Olympic qualifiers last year. I think he's going to be sensational. Now, as far as the other stuff, I mean, I don't know if you want to root for the Lakers, if you're anybody who's not already a Laker fan, because they're just one of those franchises. Like, as somebody who's a Met fan, I can't think of any instance where I'd want to root for the Yankees to win anything. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't see how you could want to root for the Cowboys or whatever. And as somebody who doesn't really root for billionaires and giant corporations in general, I probably can't bring myself to say, hey, Dallas, go root for the Lakers, who have been the most successful franchise in NBA history. You can root for Luka Doncic's individual success. But I think if you're a Mavs fan, like, maybe just stop being a Mavs fan until they get it together. Like, you don't have to put yourself through this. As somebody who gave up his love for the New York Jets at one point and hasn't turned back at all, and I've clearly won that battle because it's been 10 years of football bliss for me. I just play fantasy and occasionally bet and keep it moving. But I used to love New York Jets football for whatever reason, and then they beat it out of me over the course of 22 years. And since 2016, I've been sober. So Dallas Mavericks fans, I don't think you need to put yourself through the same thing. I think you can sober up. And if you don't want to root for this organization, don't.
We take a look too, Brian, at the organization itself, because the players involved, like as you said, this was a semblance of a team that maybe if you got through healthy this year, next year added some more pieces to the puzzle, they might be able to compete. The worst part of this whole scenario is if Kyrie, let's just say, broke his wrist, okay, that's a bad break, but he'll be ready by the summer and playing. You tear your ACL in March, it almost wipes out the entire next season. What's the future for you, Brian, with the Dallas Mavericks and particularly with Kyrie Irving at 32 years old?
On top of the fact that he is going to be 33 in 18 days, and on top of the fact that Kyrie Irving has an injury history, like he's had knees and ankles and all these different things over the course of his career, like he's been sneakily injury prone. And that's the other piece of this. He's also a smaller guard who has been in the NBA since 2011. This is his 14th season. Next year will be his 15th year. We don't know if he's going to play during his 15th season. So this is one of the worst times to tear your ACL on top of that. So if you're Dallas right now, you don't have a lot of outs. You just don't. Maybe you want to sell off Anthony Davis and see what you could get this summer. I don't know.
Maybe. Maybe, just maybe. We'll get you ready for the NBA slate on this Wednesday with Fonseca next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Once again, something we have said often this NBA season, the Cleveland Cavaliers have the longest active win streak around the association. A 22-point win last night in Chicago over the Bulls. Cleveland covering as a 13-point road favorite. Now make it 11 victories in a row for the Cavaliers. The NBA's best team with the best overall record at 51-10. Second leg of a back-to-back, but not the longest trip. Back to the land where they will host the Miami Heat Tonight, Fonseca, 10.5-point spread in favor of Cleveland. Total now standing at 225. The Cavs hoping for their 12th consecutive win. Can Miami make it a game tonight in Cleveland?
I mean, I'd like to know who's going to play for the Heat, first of all. Evan Mobley sat the first leg of this back-to-back that Cleveland is on, so we're expecting to see him tonight. And Cleveland is just a lot better. Like, I know this is typically the time of year that Eric Spoelstra sort of gets it together, but Miami has a lot of injury stuff with Jaime Jaquez, with Andrew Wiggins. Davion Mitchell is questionable after missing last game, which was a semi-late scratch. It was like well into the afternoon. Not that I was paying attention for fantasy purposes or anything like that. But as it pertains to just this game, I mean, obviously we're expecting Cleveland to move on and win, and I think big picture, which we'll probably get into, but I love this Cleveland team, and I have since, you know, they hired Kenny Atkinson, basically. I was on their over this season, which was like 48.5. They've already surpassed that by a good amount. I said before the year they could be a 55-60 win team and be first in the Eastern Conference. It was one of the calls that I got before the year because, Lord knows, I was off on a couple other things. And Cleveland right now, they're at 51-10. Them finishing with 60 wins only would be a flop at this point because it would mean they're like under 500 the rest of the way. Like, we're expecting, we have bigger aspirations, and, you know, we're expecting them to see Boston in the conference finals, which I hope we do get, because it's one of the highest level series of basketball we could get in the playoffs this year.
Take a look, too, at Cleveland on the season itself. Now down from a 40-1 price to start the season to win the NBA championship, Brian, to a 6-1 price here, which just a few days ago was a 7-1 price. So it is getting better. If we are looking at the playoffs, because I know the moniker would be, well, as long as Boston's engaged and healthy, they probably have the leg up on the Cavaliers. But the Cavaliers have been sensational at home. And if the season ended today, they would have home court advantage throughout here. Talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers moving forward, because for me, Brian, 75% of the season down, this isn't a fluke season. Like, I truly believe they are the best team in the NBA, but a lot of people not pricing them as the best team in the NBA. What's your thoughts on that?
They're the best offense, which I kind of expected with Kenny Atkinson. Like, seeing what Kenny Atkinson was able to do with the Nets up here close, and those were teams that I covered, like, actually on a day-to-day basis for a few years. And you saw him make chicken salad out of you-know-what with guy after guy after guy. Like, develop Spencer Dinwiddie into becoming a near all-star player, develop D'Angelo Russell into becoming an actual all-star player, developing Caris LeVert into becoming an all-star talent before he broke his leg very early 2018-19 season. He was likely going to be the Nets all-star that year, the way it was trending before he got hurt 12 games into the year. Jared Allen, seeing the early portions of his development and seeing where Jared Allen is now, to the point where, like, he's a guy who could even sit some crunch time lineups in the playoffs. Like, he could sit some fourth quarters because of, you know, matchup things. Like, we've already seen this against the Celtics where they've sort of had to choose and are like, all right, I don't know if we could survive two bigs right now. Let's go to this different look, because they have a bunch of closing options. And the thing with the Cavs thing, the Cavs team for me, is they could also defend at a high level. They're seventh in defense, they're first in offense, and they have a lot of options. Like, ultimately, I think you need depth to win a championship. It's not just star driven. You need 7-8 players you can trust. You need 6-7 players you can close with, those kind of things. And you have Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell, Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, DeAndre Hunter, Max Strus, Dean Wade, potentially, like Ty Jerome. You have a bunch of different guys you can close with on a great night. And just looking at the coaching differences between, you know, Kenny Atkinson and, with all due respect, A.B. Bickerstaff, like, this is just the decision they had to make. They had a good coach before, but now they have a great one. This is kind of like, some people likened it to Golden State going from Mark Jackson to Steve Kerr. I feel like maybe this isn't as dramatic, because then we saw what the Warriors did after. But at the same time, I think Kenny Atkinson was the right man for the job. That the DeAndre Hunter trade was great. And I think they're legit. Like, they can give, obviously, Boston a lot of problems. And I think I would favor them to beat everyone in a playoff series in the Eastern Conference outside of Boston, just because of Boston's pedigree. But assuming they get home court, which it looks like they will, I may like the Cavs in that series too.
Mm-hmm. 8-game advantage with just about 20 games left. That would be insurmountable in most spots for the Celtics to catch Cleveland if Cleveland falters. And as we have seen here, 11 straight wins and 51 overall. The Cavs have not stumbled. Two teams at the 50-win benchmark in the NBA. In fact, just two teams more than 43 wins. Cleveland, best record, 51-10. And the Oklahoma City Thunder, the one seed in the Western Conference at 50-11. The four seed out west, currently the Memphis Grizzlies, riding a three-game skid. Memphis at home tonight, Fonseca, 9-point home dog against the West best in OKC. Total now at 250. A lot of offense expected in the Grind City. How do you break down the matchup between the Thunder and the Grizz?
Memphis just had a 250 with the Hawks the other day, and I think that went over also. I mean, Memphis plays at a top two pace in the NBA. And the thing with them is, in this particular matchup, like we're not going to see Jaren Jackson Jr. because he's week to week now. So that's not great for somebody who's had an injury history. Also, for futures bettors, sort of clears the decks for Evan Mobley to really take a stranglehold on Defensive Player of the Year. NBA-wise for the rest of the season. And then John Morant's questionable, Santi Aldama's questionable. Like, there's just a lot of injury questions with this Memphis team that Oklahoma City's obviously going to take advantage of. The problem I have with the over-under is if this gets out of hand, Memphis just doesn't score enough, and Oklahoma City's awesome defensively. Like, you know, we might not get to that 250. And I was looking at Oklahoma City's total team over-under, which that was at 130, and I was like, man, I think they'll score, but 130 feels like a lot, but it's entirely possible. So, you know, I like Oklahoma City also. I in the Western Conference right now, everyone's sort of fighting for second place in the regular season, but, man, in the playoffs, they still have to prove some things to us, which we can get to at another time. But they're young, but they're also really good, have a lot of upside. But, you know, we'll see.
Brian Fonseca, we appreciate the time and insight always. NFL draft news next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Finally, some new betting markets available for the 2025 NFL draft outside of the number one overall pick odds, but not number two or number three. First player selected at specific position groups. Donnie is thrilled. He has been waiting with bated breath for these new draft markets to become available, and I know he is ready to go. By the way, the updated number on Cam Ward after Combine Week in Indianapolis to be that first overall pick, minus 280. Doesn't have to be the Titans selecting Miami's Cam Ward first overall. Could be anybody, as we continue to see speculation of QB-needy teams maybe making their way up the draft board, looking at you, New York Giants. But, Donnie, first player selected at various positions around the game of football. Let's start with the first running back off the board in the 2025 NFL draft. Of course, the Heisman runner-up, that is Ashton Jeanty, a minus 1,100 price. So obviously, Jeanty is going to be the first running back to hear his name called. Don't argue that. I think the better question, DRS, is the draft position prop for Ashton Jeanty, or if, as we would anticipate, perhaps he is a first-round pick.
Yeah, and also today, live on the FanDuel Sportsbook, Ashton Jeanty is up to minus 1,500 to be the first running back drafted off the board. So that money is moving way out there. You got a shoebox under your bed. You want to bet some? Ashton Jeanty is probably going to be your guy. I can't see anybody else going ahead of him because of how good he was last year. And the projection to the NFL now is, hey, maybe running backs are an important piece to offenses here. How about a good running back? There you go.
We saw two running backs go in the top 12 in 2023. Bijan Robinson, 8th overall. Jahmyr Gibbs, 12th overall. Both have worked out very, very well. We did not see a first-round running back a season ago. I would expect Ashton Jeanty to be that. But a deep running back class, Amarion Hampton out of North Carolina, Travion Henderson, and Quinshon Judkins out of Ohio State. And the guy I think is the second best running back, that would be Caleb Johnson. He is also young. A lot of tread left on those tires out of Iowa at a 70-1 number. But I think we will see multiple day one and day two picks at the running back spot. Let's keep it moving. Wide receiver, Tetaroa McMillan, the wideout out of Arizona, an absolute freak, is a minus 150 favorite to be the first wideout selected. Matthew Golden from Texas at plus 130. It should be noted, Travis Hunter is not available to bet as a wide receiver. And assuming he will be the first player called out of any of these groups, it does not count. He is not included in the wide receivers. It is without Hunter in this market. I do believe T-Mac from Tucson is that first wideout selected.
Yeah, it makes sense, too, because I like those type of markets also, because you'll see it, and we're going to talk golf in just a few moments. They'll remove, like, the top two or three players and say, if these three, you know, who's going to come in basically second place or with a chance to win it? It's an interesting market. And also, it's not a favorite runaway. It's a minus 150 price. Next closest, Matthew Golden at a plus 130. So you still do have some options there if you'd like the underdog, not as an overwhelming underdog, with a legitimate chance to be taken as the first wide receiver outside of Travis Hunter.
And as you will see in any betting draft market, it is not crazy to lay the chalk at a minus 150 price, especially as we go through this draft process. Maybe not even at minus 250. Tyler Warren, the Mackey Award winner, expected to be the first tight end off the board out of Penn State for everything he can do. Colston Loveland out of Michigan, plus 180. But perhaps the most compelling prospect, Harold Fannin Jr. at 200-1. His head coach at Bowling Green just became an offensive assistant where?
Philadelphia. Maybe just bring him in here. Got that instant impact. I love the tight end position, by the way. I think it's one of the stronger ones that we've seen over the past couple of years. Tyler Warren can do it all. I mean, you want to talk about some of those things we see in the NFL where some tight ends were taking quarterback sneaks. That's the guy that can fill in to do that for you. Yeah. He can throw passes. He can catch passes. I love that kid. I think he's going to be a star. But you also do take a look at Fannin Jr. and saw his statistics that he put up, which included that final bowl game appearance. That kid looks like he's a player regardless of what level of college football he played at.
There's some questions about his ability to be an inline blocker. Doesn't matter. Get the guy the football. He is sensational. Record-setting tight end in basically every single category, 20 plus at the FBS level. Here's where I think there is value. Armon Membu, the offensive lineman out of Missouri, who was dazzling at the combine, is now the favorite to be the first O lineman off the board. That's interesting because LSU's Will Campbell with the best number at plus 130. He was the guy all year long, the anchor at the left tackle spot. I would sprinkle on Campbell. Hour number three comes your way next on the Early Line.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.